Good morning and welcome. This is Community Focus on your Cumulus radio stations in Newark and Lancaster. My name is Mark McKenzie. There is so much strife in the world. You know, Jesus has been working at it for like 2,000 years, and look at how far he's gotten. I'm just trying to be a little facetious here. We need to take some responsibility ourselves at peacemaking amongst each other. And there are several organizations that have been working at this over the years. We've had them on this show. If you remember, last year in 2016, we had Community Resolution Services or Conflict Resolution Services here. But since then, they have merged with another organization, and they really have focused in on this idea of conflict resolution. They teach it. They have basic classes. They have, what is it called, restorative justice training. All of these kind of words that you may have heard elsewhere. We're going to find out exactly how it gets into the system, how it fixes conflicts. And we also have here today a small business owner in Lancaster County who went through this system, had a problem, and decided to solve it going through this system. Can't wait to hear about that. We're lucky enough to have Chris Fitz here, who is the executive director of the community engagement. Is that with the community engagement portion? Remember Mila Pitz? Pilts? She was here last year, and she is your co-anchor, I guess, or co-partner. So Chris and Mila work together. Chris is here this time. And Molly Sullenberger is here. You want to plug your small business? What are you?
Our business is called the Akron Group LLC, and it's a real estate business.
Oh, excellent. Okay. Well, can't wait to hear about how that all works out. This is a way to take action to, you know, help make the world a little bit better place. And I think kind of help heal yourself and heal others. And do I sound like a peacemaker, Chris?
Yeah, you're ready for one of our trainings, I think, Mark.
Yeah, well, I'm just going to tell you, I yell at the TV a lot, so I would definitely have to one of those classes. Well, Chris, welcome, and let me ask you about your road on this thing, because ADVOS did not exist last year, and it's a combination of two different organizations. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, so Lancaster Mediation Center was the precursor to the organization you heard about last year, Conflict Resolution Services. Mm-hmm. They started in 1980, which was one of the pretty early mediation centers in the country, actually.
Wow.
And that's largely owed to the fact that there's a lot of mediation resources in Lancaster County through the Mennonite resources.
So
there
is, I mentioned, you know, Jesus earlier. So
yeah,
there is a religious basis for this.
Yeah, and the process itself is not religious.
We
want to be neutral and welcome any traditions that come to the table, of course. But it really did start with a lot of people got interested, at least, with a faith conviction about it and a moral conviction that there's got to be a better way to do this, not just in terms of the strife in the world, but in terms of not suing each other. Not having to go to court if we can help it, each other face to face.
Trying a little bit more respectful, even if you're not, even if you're a victim, that doesn't mean that you have to respond in kind.
Right.
And that is.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And that's hard because I like to think, well, I don't like to think it, but I think that is somewhat of the American way. Not all. I mean, we have exceptions to that, but. You know, I think the president is very clear, you know, if you come at him, he comes back twice as hard. That's his kind of personal conviction. And obviously, we have plenty of that in the world. Mm. Let's see if there isn't a better way that kind of is more constructive all the way around. So the idea here is to have two parties get together, but where do these two parties come from? Is this something that a business would come to ADVOS to hire you, or is this something that a consumer might say, you know what, I want to go there? Are you a different version of like the Better Business Bureau? I mean, give me more details.
Yeah, so the mediation component of our work, or really is it's there as an alternative to the civil court system, to getting sued. Often, actually, it's also an alternative to having to spend a lot of money and time with lawyers and in the court for even divorce, separation, and custody arrangements, and often doing that more civilly and more directly.
But you have to have – there are certain things that you have to have first.
Sure.
I mean, if there's any acrimony, this isn't going to work.
Yeah, so people have to agree to be part of the process, and that's true whether it's mediation or it's restorative justice. And you asked about the two organizations, and restorative justice came along a bit later than mediation, I think because it sounded because the criminal justice system was not really set up for it.
True.
In the mid-90s is when really restorative justice came along through an organization called LAVORP, again in Lancaster County. There were actually quite a few restorative justice organizations throughout the state of Pennsylvania. There are only a few now, largely because community support has sustained some of them, but the grant funding, the state funding for them to continue has basically dried up in the last 20 years.
So it wasn't the concept that died necessarily, it was the funding?
Largely. So I'll tell you also one thing that's really absolutely important for this work, which is to have partners who also believe in it. And when the court system, and in Lancaster County, this has really been the case, when people in the court system understand the value of offenders and victims being able to meet face to face, and especially when those offenders are kids, it's kind of, in my mind, a slam dunk that it's a value to not just to them and the
sure.
victims, but to the society and the community, that this is our future, right? So when they are able to meet face to face and they're supported by the juvenile probation system, by the judges, then it happens.
Well, but I get that, you know, part of we call it the justice system, but there's retribution generally, and it also takes time for all of this, and I don't know that our system is necessarily set up for that, you know. But they walk them in, the judge, you know, bangs the gavel, and on to the next case, and the system has a movement of its own, and what you're describing sounds way more contemplative than I would suspect the system itself wanting. They just don't have time as money.
Yeah, well, surprising thing, Mark. In the mid-90s, most people don't know this, but in the mid-90s, the entire state of Pennsylvania went through an overhaul of its juvenile system, not the adult system, but not many people know about this. It's called BARGE, Balanced and Restorative Justice. And there were three parts to that. One was victim reparation. One was safety, community safety, which is kind of a translation of what we usually think about putting people in jail or something. Mm-hmm. What is the safety of the community is the real question for juveniles.
Sure.
And the third part of that is rehabilitating the offender and giving them competency and tools so that they don't need to do that again. So we as a movement of restorative justice and face-to-face victim-offender dialogue started really with that change. And actually, a lot of parts of that in the juvenile system take time. And victim-offender conferencing, restorative justice, actually doesn't take much longer. In fact, it's more efficient sometimes because they will be doing also, they may be taking drug and alcohol classes. They may be taking anger management. Some of those things take
right,
a long
sure.
time, right,
right.
To change.
Good point.
So this is a process where usually there's three meetings. One is a meeting, individual meeting with an offender or the offenders involved in an incident. One is then individually meeting with the victim and then bringing them together. And actually maybe Molly can talk firsthand about that.
You're listening to Community Focus on your Cumulus radio stations in New York and Lancaster. My name is Mark McKenzie. You just heard Chris Fitz, and he is the Executive Director for Community Engagement at ADVOZ. That's ADVOZ at 53 North Duke Street, Suite 303. The website has all the details, ADVOZ.org. And this idea of restorative justice and mediation, Molly Sullenberg. Yeah, with Molly Sullenberger. So you're not related at all to Sully Sullenberger.
We are not.
Okay.
Although we have a grandson named Hudson.
See, isn't that weird?
But not because of the miracle right. on the Hudson.
Okay, that's interesting. But you're a small business owner. And would you have characterized yourself as someone who might have, yeah, I don't know, 20 years ago gone through something like this?
20 years ago, I would not have known of a program such as this. And I actually didn't request that we go through this after we were harmed or our building was harmed.
Yeah, talk a little bit about what happened.
So what happened is somewhere in February of 2016, and people in York County would probably not know about this, but it was heavily publicized in Lancaster County. There were two girls, actually 12 years old, that heavily damaged the effort of rail trail and some of the buildings along there, signs, with spray paint, and they were out in the middle of the night one night and left a trail of very graphic, sexually graphic and racially inflammatory pictures, words, sayings along the area that they damaged. So we were contacted by Advos after that event happened. We own a large warehouse that's a block wide along that trail, and the girls hit it up with some really, really graphic things. So we were contacted by Advos as one of the victims. The borough of Ephrata was another. There was a private citizen that was involved to come in and become part of their process with the girls who now were in the juvenile system.
Well, that's interesting. So, Chris, did they come to you, or you saw this as an opportunity?
Well, in Lancaster County, we work hand in hand with the court
saw this as an opportunity.
Yes. So every case is sent to us that has a victim, every appropriate case. There are some cases that we can, you know, get. We don't want to get into the weeds, but there are some cases that aren't appropriate. But most cases we will go.
Would it be
and
violent?
We'll make the phone call.
Would violence
to Molly.
Be part of that?
We can.
Oh, okay. All right.
Consider that it's okay. Not necessarily.
No. Okay.
Right. Violence doesn't make it.
But the court came to you and said, "Here are the victims. Here are the suspects. What can you do?" Did they throw it to you?
Right. So the court has a process, and they'll do. Regardless of our involvement, they'll work with the young people. In this case, the girls will still have consequences. We're not a substitute for that. Right. We are one of the consequences that they have.
But you're a kind of a conduit to kind of help meet them halfway, help the courts, help kind of free up resources.
Absolutely. Yeah. So part of what we do is help with that. Competency for them to speak for themselves and take responsibility for what they did, and if you've ever been in a courtroom, it's pretty intimidating. If you're a 12-year-old saying something to the judge, it doesn't necessarily come off very authentic.
I don't know, but Molly looks like a pretty serious person, so I could see being maybe a little frightened.
Sure. So
you look tough. I'm not just saying, Molly, I wouldn't want to cross you. That's all I'm saying.
Well, for a 12-year-old, any adult can be scary.
Well, that's true.
That's one dynamic that we're certainly aware of. We actually bring the parents as part of the process.
Okay.
So we are calling the parents. We have face-to-face meetings with each of the people involved individually. So we are contacting them, but it's not. It's part of an agreement, actually, with the court system. Okay. This is how it works.
So, Molly, you get this call. What was your initial reaction?
I didn't know that this kind of a situation was available. And I actually was glad to be part of it because my concern was 12 years old and knowing the things that they knew that they translated into pictures and words. When I was 12, and I'll date myself, I was still playing with dolls. And I didn't, you know, right on the heels of being angry at what they did, my thought was, what is going on in these young girls' lives that would cause them to be engaged in this kind of behavior. And I worry a lot. You know, I'm a grandmother now, and our children are precious resources, and we are squandering that as a society.
But you get the fact that a lot of what would happen next would be your reaction.
Exactly. And so I put myself in the shoes of the young girls in that, you know, here they are, they're going to be in a room with a representative of Ephrata Borough and a business owner and a private citizen, all adults. Well, by the time we met with the first girl, she was now 14, but still, that's a very intimidating situation. And I just thought it was very brave of her and her father to come in and sit across the table from us, not knowing what our reactions would be, and engage with us.
And how did that go?
It went very well. We were able to ask the young girl about why she did what she did. And just to recount the night, there was alcohol involved. There was lack of parental supervision involved. There was, you know, they had been running with a much older crowd, some as old as 19 years old. So we got to look into her life a little bit and see what was going on there. And her father was very supportive, and he just constantly said, you know, I'll make this right. We'll make this right. She had this parent she was not living with at the time of the incident. Parents were divorced. So the father stepped in and took custody of her and moved her to the southern end of the county, much more rural. She's in an isolated location, cannot get out and run the streets. He imposed boundaries on her and expectations and responsibilities. And she told us that she was in a new school district and had gone from D's and F's to now A's and B's. So it was really heartwarming to see that a big change already had been occurring in her life. And so ultimately what happened was we all forgave her because we could see that she was trying really hard to change her life and to take a second chance out of what happened. And then the final thing that was really, really impressive to me is that she came up with the idea on her own at the end of the meeting that she wanted to go to the Ephrata Borough Council meeting and give them an apology for her behavior. And I don't know if I could have done that. Stood up in front of the town mothers and fathers and said I was sorry for something that had our whole community, like, totally up in arms.
Yeah, this is a real lesson, not just in how to handle yourself in a tough situation. It's how to offer grace to someone who definitely sounds like she earned it. And then on the other side, you started with a comment about, Molly, about the, you know, you worried about children in the future, and here's a child who is giving you faith in that.
Yes, and a family. I mean, it became very apparent to me through this whole procedure that adults have a tremendous impact on children and how they act and what they do. I see that with my young grandchildren. They watch everything that we do. They copy everything that we do. And
but we don't give them that credit.
We don't. And as adults, we carry a lot more responsibility for our youngsters and what their ultimate behavior is than I think a lot of us even realize.
So when this well, let's check in with Chris and find out. So this worked. This was like the textbook case, right?
Yeah. Well, in many ways, So I should also be clear that this process is led, actually, we make the initial contacts, but this process is led by a trained volunteer.
Ah.
And in this case, Don, our volunteer, and this is, we've documented this particular case on a video.
Uh-huh.
That's on our website now.
Probably a training.
Yeah, well, it's actually, this is a textbook case because there are many people involved with different, you know, they kind of, there's a homeowner, there's a business owner, there's, you know, it sort of,
yes,
covers a lot of bases.
I get it. Uh-huh.
In a beautiful way. But it also, one of the things that Don, our volunteer facilitator, says is it had great victims. So, which sounds a little off color, but
yes, I got it.
but it's true that, you know, we have a role as a community when we're harmed to act responsibly too. And we have every right to be angry. And one of the things that our facilitators will often say is, don't pretend you're not angry. Don't go right to say, I forgive you in a meeting, even if you want to. You know, we have very well-meaning victims. We say how angry you were. Say how this made you feel and what all that you went through. Because that's what people need to hear. And they don't experience those consequences when you don't tell them.
And it's also important for the victim to voice that?
Yes, absolutely. So, and what happens is when they're allowed to voice it, both individually with a facilitator and then with the offenders themselves, they feel different because they're heard. In a courtroom, you don't have that opportunity to be heard and to be acknowledged face-to-face.
You're listening to Community Focus on your Cumulus radio stations in York and Lancaster. My name is Mark McKenzie, and we're talking with Chris Fitz. He is the Executive Director for Community Engagement at AdVoz, ADVOZ.org. And Molly Sullenberger is a small business person in the northern part of Lancaster County who had a property that, among others, was defaced by a couple of girls, young teenage girls, who realized that they had done something wrong, and through this process of mediation and restorative justice, both sides learned how, you know, it wasn't a case of law and order, you know, which is, I guess, what most people's experience with the legal system is. It's TV shows and, you know, private investigators and that kind of thing. So this must be a real education for really everybody involved, including the advocate. Now, I see with your newsletter here, which is called The Dialogue, which is a perfect name for that, that you offer these classes so that you can have other people like Don and so that other members of the community can learn this skill.
Yes, and I'm blanking on the number, but we have over the years basically given a training course every year, sometimes more than once a year. Uh-huh. And if you count up the number of people who have been through this, it's probably north of 500 people over the last 37 years or so. Okay. So our community has been enriched overall by this. We have right now actively between 25 and 30 volunteer facilitators in each program, actually. Both
and how busy are they? How often does this get used? Give me
some
perspective.
Well, they're as busy as we can. As they'll
take
cases.
So you need
cases.
More. Okay.
Yeah. So we're – and that's – this is a timely conversation because we have – courses coming up this fall. Basically, we run right now with a 30 to 60 day backlog. That's
oh,
not
really?
Something I like to advertise, actually.
Okay.
Maybe we want to delete this part.
No, but it gives people perspective in the fact that, you know, I know when I talk to people who want to get involved in volunteering, I think they want to do something where they're going to be used.
Yeah.
They don't want to, you know, they want to be effective. They want to make use of their time. So that would be key to me to find out, hey, they need, and boy, you take the courses, you learn, you're going to be put on the front line and you'll be in action.
Yeah. I have done cases myself. It's not what I do every day with the organization, but just one case I can tell you about really briefly was with two boys who stole the wheels off of a pretty expensive car. And well, actually the wheels were off. They stopped by, they noticed nobody was there. They put the wheels in the back of their pickup truck and they
crime
drove
of opportunity.
Away. Right. And then they realized they couldn't really use the wheels, so they threw them away in bushes. So eventually the wheels were found and they were found. And the night that they were found, it was like I said, two different boys. One was basically homeless, sleeping with friends in a different school district from his parents. And that night that he was found by the cops, he was kicked out of the home that he was living in. So homeless yet again. So both of these boys were, then sent to referred to juvenile probation for this. There was no actual monetary damage, as in Molly's case. But what ended up happening is I met with each of the boys individually. I met with the homeowner who had actually had a theft happen several months before. And because of that theft, was starting to kind of worry if he was being targeted in the neighborhood.
Right.
He wasn't sure what was going on, that there was something systematic happening. He ended up spending a couple of days installing security cameras, et cetera. There was cost, all that. So I get them together. Well, it turns out both boys want to be auto mechanics. And the young man who they robbed is a professional mechanic at one of the dealers in Lancaster. Uh-huh.
And I can see where this is going.
Right. So so as we were wrapping up, one of the comments that the young man had, the victim in our conversation, was that they got off too lightly. They should have been at least had a couple of days in juvenile detention or something to show them, that this was serious. But by the end, I was asking him, are you sure you wouldn't like to ask something of them? Are you sure you wouldn't want them to do community service or help with your yard or do, mm-hmm. And he's like, no, actually, just hearing what they did and that they've done already something to take responsibility is enough for me. He didn't want any, this is a law and order kind of guy.
Right.
Who realized that these boys actually, and then we finished the conversation by him actually giving advice of how they can how they can become professional mechanics.
Sounds the definition of restorative.
Yes.
Both for the kids' lives and probably for his as well.
Yeah.
Chris Fitz and Molly Sullenberger, thank you both for being here with ADVOZ. And ADVOZ, ADVOZ.org is the website where you can learn about the class. That's going to do it for Community Focus this weekend. I'm Mark McKenzie.